Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Dr. Daniel Hobbs, where kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God is destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's show, visit our website at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us on Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.
Hello, Barbara.
Yes.
Hi. Good morning. How are you doing? Praise God. Well, God is good. The last show was such a blessing. I wanted us to finish that conversation. And we were talking about deciding, not sliding into the new year, strategies for that. And we sort of ended on fasting. And we wanted to pick up on fasting again and then talk about the shawls. Is that good with you?
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we just bless and exalt you. We thank you for the new life that's flowing in us because of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for leading us this morning as we gather together in your name. We thank you for your presence being here. We petition heaven's resources, Almighty God, to be released into the lives of the people that will be hearing this show. We thank you, Father, for the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the gift of discernment, the gift of healings, the working of miracles, Father God, the gift of faith, the gift of prophecy moving in our midst, God, and through our conversation to touch and transform the hearts of the people that are out there being blessed. Thank you, Lord, for anointing us for this portion that you've called us to. Thy kingdom come, Lord. Thy will be done, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. We'll get started in a couple of seconds as soon as the intro music comes on. Thank you, Lord.
Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Dr. Daniel Hobb, where kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God is destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's show, visit our website at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us on Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show. If this is your very first time tuning in, I'm your host, Dr. Daniel Hobbs, and we have a purpose. Our purpose is to bring you the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture so that you can be, do, and have everything that God has destined for you. And one of the things that we do know as believers walking in the kingdom of God in this world, is that timing is everything. Ecclesiastics tells us that there's a time and a season for every single thing under the sun. And today, we are recognizing that we are in a season where we're crossing over from one year into a new year. And in order to do that, we want to arm you, the kingdom citizen, with information and strategies to be successful and excel at what God's called you to do. Today, we are very blessed again to have with us Minister Barbara Hall, who is an anointed prophetic gift, atmosphere artist, and an anointed dancer that has an ability to bat her eyes at the living God, to get his attention, to move into the lives of those that God has called her to serve. And so today, I want to welcome you back. Barbara, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing wonderful this morning. It's a new day.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
It is a new day.
It is. Well, you know, it's incredible to understand that Father God knows the end from the beginning. And because of the possession, of having possession of that knowledge, he wants to pass on information and revelation, times and seasons, to his children so they can know how to act on his will in the new year that is coming. And a lot of us, we just slide into the new year instead of deciding, getting God's will, plan, and purposes so we can decide to be in agreement with it. And so we have been talking about how important that is to us as believers. What are some of the things that God has spoken to you about this strategy of deciding and not sliding into the new year?
Well, it's all in the preparation. And I believe that he has been preparing us. You know, the Lord said to me that my people have to be willing to be last. And I said, Lord, willing to be last? What we see in scripture where the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Some of us, you know, we see reversed in the kingdom that they are in the world. We think of a remnant, per se, as the leftover. But God said, no, it's the first cut of the fabric. It's my first fruit. So he's already set aside his remnant to be prepared, because we're walking in a season that we have never walked in before. God is about to reveal himself in a way that we have never seen in this life. You know, you said that God knows the end from the beginning. Absolutely. But we have to understand that this life is to live for him. It's all about Jesus' reward. You know, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And so when we receive Jesus and we really receive him into our hearts, we become eternal beings. He gives us eternal life at that very moment. And so our life, and as he laid down his life for us at the cross, he was purchased with a price. We were purchased with a price. A woman's slave back in the day for her freedom was 30 shekels. 30 shekels Jesus was betrayed. And yet it was because of his bride.
I think that's prophetic. I think that's prophetic what you're saying, especially the word that God gave you about we have to learn to be last and second, not because we're less of them, but because it's strategic. There are many of us that refer to Jesus' kingdom as the upside-down kingdom because everything's upside down. In our natural world, those who are first are the last ones, you know. Those that seem to be important in our present natural world, they become the least important. And so we have to begin to adapt a perception of God to understand that positioning, incredible positioning. And to some, it may look like we are actually second or last, but actually God's putting us first, because it doesn't matter if you're number one coming through the door. If number one's not getting the reward, but it's number two, you want to be in the position where you're going to win. And God wants his people to win. In fact, there is a win being released into the atmosphere of God's people today if we be willing to take the proper positioning that God has given us. I'm thinking right now of the prophetess Anna, who after many years of being a widow, she stayed in the temple of the Lord with fastings and prayer, just denying her life, not having a life, but making her life the life in the temple of prayer and worship. And some may have looked and said, wow, she had a wasted life. All she did was go into the temple and said a bunch of words day and night and didn't even enjoy the great joy and the pleasures of food. She denied herself that on a frequent basis in order to say a bunch of words. What was that all about? Well, it may have looked like she was being number two, or she was being lesser than those in the culture, but she was actually accelerating herself to be used of God, to be a witness for God, to speak for God when the Messiah was to come. And there are many things that God has yet to come in the new year that he's asking us to get ourselves in position to give birth to, just like Anna. So what you said was really on cue when you were saying that we must learn to be second, because that's about God putting us in position, not putting us where we think we should be, not putting us where others think we should be, but us being in a place where God wants us to be. That is so essential for us as kingdom citizens today.
Right, and he came, he was master. He left his kingship to come down on earth to become a servant. And so who is the most important? We say the master. He says, but I've come amongst you to serve. So what position should we take? We can't exalt ourselves. He says, humble yourself. Those that are humble themselves before me, I shall exalt. So it is in that position to serve and to serve him. It's just like John. We were talking about fasting, and I thought about John. And John was the one that laid his head upon Jesus' breast. He's the one that said, I am the one that Jesus loves. He was there at the cross. He was there through. He was intimate with the Lord. It was even there that Jesus said to John, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. He gave the care of his mother to him. But yet in those days, you know, he knew that John was given a mandate to fulfill a purpose that he was not going to die. They tried to boil him in oil, and he wouldn't die. And so they banished him to Patmos. And on that Patmos Island, he certainly wasn't served food like we think of in the jail sentence today. Mm. There was no food. He was fasting. He was emptied of himself. And God appeared to him. Jesus appeared to him, you know, with the sound of a trumpet. And he turned to look for that voice, and he saw a man standing in the midst of the candlesticks. And he saw him girded like a royal priest. And then when he looked again, he said this flaming fire was coming out of his eyes, and it became so illuminated that he couldn't see. And when he looked again, he saw the seven stars held in his hand, and he fell at the feet of the Lord as if he was dead.
This is
John that knew him, but yet he fell at the feet of him who was dead. How much amazing is God going to present himself to us when we purpose ourselves and we come into that place? You know, we fast and we pray, God gives us revelation. We fall at his feet. We adore him. It took my breath away when I read the beginning of the book of Revelation.
Wow.
Because of amazing revelation.
Well, we would have called, probably in our language, Revelation the book of strategy, because the revelation is a strategy that God has for each and every one of us to win. This is why the Revelation says, blessed are the ones who read this and believe this. This is God's strategy for us to put us into a place where we can win and we can excel for the kingdom of God. Let's take a destiny break right here and come back, and let's talk about the prophetic of strategies for going into the new year.
I do not choose to be a common man. It is my right to be uncommon if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled and bold, by having the state look after me. I desire to take the calculated risk, to dream and to build, to fail and to succeed.
YI Institute is an entrepreneur and leadership program for youth that teaches personal leadership, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship. Register your youth today at yicenter.com. That's yicenter.com. And your youth will learn how not to die in poverty, but to have poverty die in them.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Voice of Destiny show. Our vision here is to bring you the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture. And we have a very special guest today, Minister Barbara Hall, and we're talking about deciding into the new year and not simply sliding into the new year for the purposes that God has for us. Now, one of the great prophecies is to locate what is the will of God for the new year by hearing the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord for us as an individual. Paul told Timothy, war a good warfare with the prophecies that were spoken over you. And so one thing that we understand, Barbara, that prophecy is important. How do we value prophecy going into the new year, and how do we employ it to accomplish God's purposes for us?
Well, I believe that we need to really review the things that have already been spoken over us. You know, God has spoken to each and every one of us, and we have to come into that place. And I remember years ago you saying to me, Barbara, you're going to lead people into these prophetic acts. That's all I was doing all year, leading people into these prophetic acts. And the thing is that we need to put action on the words that God has given us. We can't just leave them dormant, but begin to declare and proclaim them to be truth. To reclaim them over our lives, to call in the future of things. He says, you can call those things that are not as though they were into the present time. And so we need to begin to walk in the words that God has spoken. His promises are yes and amen. He said, you can believe that I'm going to do something, but do you trust me? Trust us for today. Trust us of the present. And so we trust him for today. He has given us today. And so with that trust, knowing that he's going to bring to pass those things that we believe, that we have faith in, that he is going to do in our lives. You know, we get so caught up in some things, and the Lord says your future, your destiny is set in the heavens. Begin to walk in it. And so we need to redress ourselves in destiny.
And what we do understand that prophecy is a form of communications, a communication format for God. We always tell the saints, look, prayer isn't just saying a bunch of words, you know, asking for a bunch of stuff. It's a medium of communication, but also prophecy is the other side. Instead of God praying to us, he's communicating to us like we are communicating in prayer, and he wants us to understand what is yet to come, what will be the atmosphere, what seasons that we will be entering in. When we hear these prophecies, we must recognize, well, is this a prophecy for a particular season, because that would dictate what type of strategies and mythology that we will approach our lives. You know, you said to make sure that we take and remember the things God has already spoken over us, and we need to do that in a good warfare by reviewing those prophecies and coming up with strategies, because a lot of times God gives us words for us to take action, and a lot of times we're waiting around for a happening to happen just because it was spoken. But there usually is an action on our part that we need to fulfill, because if we've got faith in what God has spoken, there's got to be corresponding actions. And Paul said, look, you know, show me your faith and I'll show you my work. Show me your works and I'll show you my faith. And God wants us to take and act as though what God said to us is real. And as we're approaching a new year, we want to take the context and the summary of those words and begin to apply them to our victory and our warfare. And so when we speak about preparing for the atmosphere for the new year, we are saying take what God has already spoken. Is that Isaiah 48:17? God said that he is the Lord God, our Redeemer, who teaches us to profit. It's through these prophecies God's given us instructions for excelling and prospering at the things that we put our hands to. So as a prophetic believer, I'm always sensitive to what has God said. Have I lived up to what God has said through his word first? But secondly, you know, what is it that God has spoken to me expressly? What is the express word? And I use the knowledge of that word to establish action plans for my days, my weeks, my month, and my year that is yet to come, because it is about not sliding into my new year, but it's about deciding. And I could decide on some things. I could decide to collaborate and work with God based on the things that he's spoken to us. And so somebody said, well, you know, Dr. Hopp, I've never even got a word before. Well, you know what? All you need to do is position yourself to hear from the Lord. The scripture tells us in Luke 11, if we ask, we shall receive. If we knock, it shall be opened to us. You know, if we seek, we will find. It's a matter of you being intentional towards the Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit will reveal all knowledge and all truth, and we are able to harness the knowledge of the strategies so that we can be what God's called us to be.
The thing is that we just have to begin to see the Lord in the way he is, and that fear of the Lord, that God is a spirit, and he says to us, come up here, come up here. We have to take our eyes off of our circumstances and place our eyes on him and come up into that realm where he dwells. And because I believe, you know, the earth pulls us like a gravity. But he says, come up, come up. I've got many more things to show you. I have mysteries to reveal to you. I have things for you to do. You know, and so it's taking our eyes off of ourselves, off of our circumstances, and allowing God to minister to us. But I think most importantly, we need to hear him. We need to take the time as we go into our prayer closet, when we commune with the Lord, as we worship him, and then we sit and we wait and we hear his voice giving us direction, helping us to form those strategies, to write things down. He says, write the vision and make it plain. And so that we have these things written down that we don't forget. I mean, I know I forget very easily, but I go back and I read, and I say, oh, look at that. God has already taken care of that.
Wow.
So it's important to hear him.
And God's a living God. He's not a God that man made. He's not a man-made God. God is a living God, and he has ears that hear, he has eyes that see, he has hands that feel. God knows where you are. He knows what you are. He knows what you have done. He knows what you're yet to do. And our high priest is easily touched by the feelings of our infirmities, and he wants to bring us in to a dimension of collaborating with him to do great things in this world. The Bible tells us in Daniel, the 11th chapter, that they that know God, they shall do great in exploits. And there are things that God wants us to accomplish. So being intentional about hearing the voice of God, discerning the voice of God, knowing the voice of God for our life, understanding that many of the God-given desires that are in our heart are programmed desires. They're not desires that we came up and we thought, wow, I think I'll go out and evangelize this year. I think I'll go out and start a business this year. Many times these are God's desires being transferred to us, the saints. They're God's word to us, and it is as much as a prophecy as a prophecy if someone outside of you spoke to you. Any word from heaven is an inspired word from the Lord. Any word God speaks to you about your family, about your relationships, these are inspired words. God is impressing you, and teaching my kids how to give the word of the Lord and discern the word of the Lord. I ask them, what is an intention? Do you have a intention in your heart? I want you to speak out your intention. Or what is there like a desire that you have? Is there like a strong craving to accomplish or to be something? Convert that desire into words. And many times what we'll find is that we're actually sensing the prophetic word operating on the inside of us, because God desires to communicate to us. And we often forget that God uses these forms of communications to help us to discern what his voice is, because God doesn't speak English. He doesn't speak French. He doesn't speak German. He speaks God's language. And it's through the interpretation of our inner man that we're able to capture what God is saying, so we can convey that to our soul, our will, our emotions, our intellect, so that our lives can begin to have an opportunity to conform itself into what God plans to do. Barbara, let's take a destiny break right here, and let's come back. War, a good warfare with the prophecy that the Lord has for us. And let's talk about what do we sense to be God's intention for the commonwealth of the church going into the new year. What would be the word of the Lord that we would speak? What time and season that we recognize God releasing to the body to be able to accomplish the kingdom of exploits that God's called the church to? We'll be right back.
If you're enjoying this prophetic and provocative conversation, give thanks with me for our monthly voice partners who help us to carry the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture to our generation. You too can become a distinguished monthly voice partner with a partnership gift of $15 to $45 a month. Our partners receive a monthly voice package that empowers them to be, do, and have everything God has destined for them. You too can become a monthly voice partner. Just go to the partners page at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And register today as a monthly voice partner to keep the Voice of Destiny show in your community.
Welcome back, Saints. If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Voice of Destiny show. And I'm talking with prophetic ministry gift Barbara Hall, who is an anointed teacher, dancer, and I always say a prophetic atmosphere officer that brings God's presence into any atmosphere that her ministry is taken through dance or through teaching and through the works that you're doing. We were talking about warring a good warfare with prophecy as we're going into the new year. What do you feel the Lord is speaking to you as a word for the commonwealth of the church this year that we're crossing into?
Well, I believe that he is calling us to be prosperous souls. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about, you know, how he wants us to walk in divine health and to prosper even as our souls prosper. But he wants us to know that we are valuable. We have to understand that he has placed us in position of responsibility, and he wants us to know that he's with us, that he's walking with us. And he wants to see us prosper. We are those to be blessed, to be a blessing, and we've been saying those things for years. But I believe that this is the season that we are going to begin to see the manifestation of that. It goes back to Abraham when he said that he's blessed to be a blessing and to choose the blessings, to be very careful about what we say, because our words are powerful. You know, to choose life. So we must choose the life that he has given us to walk in. and mm-hmm. and through this that God is going to do amazing things. I believe that we're going to see men like Joseph arising out of the places that they had been prepared to walk in. We're going to see the Daniels mm-hmm. take government positions that the church hasn't done in the past because we thought that we were going to be raptured away. But it's time to walk and take these things, to take the kingdom of God. You know, the kingdom of God is something different than what we see on this earth. We mm-hmm. carry the kingdom inside of us, and the world needs to see the kingdom come into the light and into the presence, the signs, the wonders, and the miracles to take place. It's not just the healing of the body, but it's the manifestation of government. You know, when David brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, it wasn't all about worship. Worship was the forefront. Worship is the thing that we can only, that's the only thing that we can take with us when we go and to meet the Lord is worship. We can't take the riches of the earth or the riches of the world with us. And so when he came in, it was also a place of government. There was a government that was established through the tabernacle of David. David, you know, he won every war against the enemies. The enemies, he always was in that winning position. He was a champion. He was a worshiper. And we need to begin to walk and take our position, take our stand, not looking at man, but looking at God and listening to him. I was reading in Hosea, and I was thinking about Ephraim. And I believe that this nation is Ephraim because of all the nations that have gathered here. And he was, in Hosea, he was following King Jeroboam when they were bowing down to idols instead of bowing down to the Most High God. Mm-hmm, but then the Lord said, look at the apostles. They were preaching on Solomon's porch. They were bringing in the stretchers. They were bringing the sick. They were just waiting to see even if the shadow of Peter would fall on them and they would be healed. And the Sadducees were jealous. They were raging with indignation against them, and they threw them into prison. And the angel of the Lord came and opened the prison, and he said, now go and take your stand. Go back into that place on Solomon's porch and begin to do what you were called to do. I believe that that's the position, that we need to know what we're called to do and to take our stand and to be obedient to the Most High God.
Wow. Well, I believe the word of the Lord is coming to the Commonwealth of the Church that 2014 is a year that God's raising up prophetic actors, those that will act out of their old self and walk in the self that God has called them to. And this process is going to lead many of us to the invention and the exploitation of a knowledge of witty inventions that Heavenly Father is releasing to us to change the world, that the Lord wants us to break out of the four walls of the temple and go and bring about change in our communities, bring about change in the marketplace to create new inventions that will bring influence for the kingdom of God, because it will put many of us in a position to excel and prosper. We can witness at levels for Jesus and for reaches of people that we were not able to reach in our prior life. And this is where I feel like the Lord is saying that we must begin to fine-tune our hearing ears to the Heavenly Father, and not to put God in a religious box, but to allow God to be in a box that is a true expression of what he wants to do for accelerating the kingdom of God in the years to come and the days this year that we are coming. Many of us have been lying dormant, holding on to promises, holding on to ideas, inventions, and designs, and we've been wondering, God, will this ever come to pass? And I believe that 2014 will be the year of prophetic actors, people who will act on the inspiration that the Spirit of God has given them to create things. And this leads me to asking you, Barbara, tell me a little bit. You have a job as the creative director of Essence of Mirror. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what it is that company does, and how our listeners could be blessed by the products that you're creating?
Yeah, I began making dance garments and flags and banners for worship, and I was the Lord gave me a design one day, and it was a prayer shawl. It was a shawl. And as I was making these things out of different materials, the Lord said, you're a tent maker. I said, oh, that's what Paul did. He didn't carry all this great big fabric around making tents. he made pleats, prayer shawls. And so the prayer shawls are very unique. For women, they're very feminine. And they come in different colors and different ribbons. And really is a prayer shawl is like coming into our chamber, into the prayer closet. We come and we cover ourselves. And it is really, it's a very sacred and precious symbol. The Lord was speaking to me about the fringes, and when I first made them, I didn't put the fringes on them because I didn't have the understanding. And as I began to have the understanding, there are 39 windings that go around the fringe on the end of the corners. There's four of them. And they number 39. And so, but in the Old Testament, it was representing the four letters of God, Yad, Ha, Vah, He, Yahweh. And the numbers of the last of the windings are 13, which means God is one. One also represents Yahava, which means love in Hebrew. And we know that by Jesus' stripes we have been healed. He received 39 lashes. And so it represents, it's, these prayer shawls, the Lord said they're under grace. And so we think about the woman with the issue of blood that came to reach out to the hem of Jesus' garment, which was the fringe or those tzitzis, which they're called, that hang on the end of his prayer shawl. That's what he reached out to. And the scripture in Malachi says that my name shall be, he said, those that will revere and worshipfully fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. So when we come under and we put this prayer shawl over our head, if we reach out even in our right hand, it becomes like a wing. You know, he covers us. It's like we come, and Psalm 91 says, we cover, he covers us with his feathers, that we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of his wings. And so it is that place that the Hebrew would do that, there to lead on, and it was became their prayer closet, it became their chamber, and they wrapped themselves up in that place, so that there was a quiet place for them to dwell. People knew that they were praying. And so it is symbolic of that. And God wants us to tabernacle with him, to come into that intimacy, that closeness with him, that we can be in that place. And there's an anointing on light. You know, each and every prayer shawl is prayed over. It's anointed with oil. God usually gives me a word symbolizing the colors and the scripture to go along with it to each and every person that I make for them. And if I see them face to face, then I pray, prophesy over them to the word of the Lord. And so you can just feel the anointing when it comes and lays over you. I've seen people fall in the presence of the Lord just when the tallit came upon them. And so we know that the oil of Holy Spirit destroys every yoke of bondage. It's the oil that was poured out on Aaron's spear that ran down upon his garment. You know, it's that unity and that oneness that God wants us to be with him, but also with one another. So
These prophetic shawls are just absolutely beautiful, and they're anointed. I encourage our friends to visit Barbara on Facebook at Barbara Baker Hall, where you'll be able to find out how to access these incredible materials from Essence of Mir. I want to thank you, Barbara, with being with us. Can you be with us one more show, and let's really talk about fasting. It keeps coming up in our conversation, and I want to give our people, the people of God, the technology of using this gift to hear the word of the Lord and to walk in what God has in store for them. Brothers and sisters, remember today is a great day because this is the day the Lord has made for you. Voice of Destiny is available to you 24/7. We desire to pray for you. If you have particular prayers you would ask us to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for, email us at info@voiceofdestiny.org. And remember, Voice of Destiny is available to you 24/7 on voiceofdestinyonline.com. That's voiceofdestinyonline.com. God bless you. Remember that God does have a plan for you, and it will prevail. God bless.
You've been listening to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Pastor Daniel Huff. Remember, kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's program, visit voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us at Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.
Barbara, if you can just hold for 1 second, I need to go grab a book, and I'm going to come right back, okay?
Okay.
Barbara, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, don't hang up. Hold it for a second. Okay, all right. Okay, sorry about that, Barbara. I wanted to grab a hold of something real quick before we got started. Thank you for your patience. We'll get started right away. Excuse me.
Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Dr. Daniel Hopp, where kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's show, visit our website at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us on Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show. If this is your very first time tuning in, I'm your host, Dr. Daniel Haupt. God does have a plan for you, for there are many of the plans of man, but it's the purpose of God that will prevail. And we're here today to impart to you strategies to excel at being, doing, and having what God has destined for you. God does have a great destiny for you. And today, I've invited my guest, Minister Barbara Hall, who is an incredible prophetic gift dancer and atmosphere artist that releases the anointing and the counsel of God into the atmosphere of the saints as we are seeking to pursue the Lord. And we have been talking about deciding, not signing, into the new year. And I want to welcome you back to the show this morning. Barbara, how you doing?
I'm doing just wonderfully.
Praise
it's
God.
A great
well,
day.
Today,
yeah.
It is a great day, isn't it? It is
really?
A good day. Well, hey, let's talk about, we've been talking about strategies, about moving into the new year. And one of the strategies I just keeps coming up that I wanted to slow down and actually really talk about, and that is fasting. Fasting. What role has fasting played in your life in pursuing and achieving God's plans for your life?
Well, I've done many fasts, many different types of fasts, and one of the things is that, you know, we first of all, we fast to glorify Him.
Mm-hmm.
We really do. We fast. We want to see change take place, but it's when we come to glorify Him that His glory is released from us. And the Lord told me once that He said, I've called you to the ministry of the Spirit, and He says, when you come to worship Me, He said, things happen that you're not even aware of or not even, you know, knowing that it's going to occur. And so mm-hmm. when we fast, we are opening our spirit. And it's like we deny our flesh. Our flesh becomes secondary. And
mm-hmm.
the Lord just, as we worship and we take the time just to spend that time with Him, that's what fasting is all about. Our time and
yeah.
the presence of a living God. And so He gives us things. We hear things. And many days may go by, I assure you, that we don't hear anything. And all of a sudden, at the end of the fast, sometimes things will just begin to take place. I've heard, you know, men that have fasted, waiting, looking for their wives, and at the end of the fast, they meet the woman of their dreams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just that we didn't purpose ourselves to go after that, but God gives us strategies. We talked about inventions and ideas
mm-hmm.
and things. God gives us these things when we
mm-hmm.
set that time aside just to enlighten him. I remember not knowing how to dance and what to do and how to step out into places, and God showed me. Through that, he showed me choreographies and just a vision during those times of fasting. You look for things, and we look for him, and we seek him while he can be found, is what he tells us. You know, come to me who thirst. It's him that fulfills us. It's only him that can satisfy. And it changes our whole makeup. It teaches us even our appetite. And he said, you know, what we desire, we become. What we behold, we will be like. And it, during those times of fasting, that he gives us the desires of our heart, because he said, those that desire, I'll give you the desires of your heart, those that delight in me. And so as
well,
we delight...
Well, I believe the fasting is one of the most underutilized weapons of our warfare in the church today. Clearly from scriptures, it is God's weapon of choice to use to do exploits, to overcome, to communicate. It is a multifaceted weapon of warfare that God has given us, the saints. But in this culture that we're in, this culture of surfeiting, of gluttonous lifestyles, we don't even consider this weapon. It's always the least considered weapon, when I believe God just doesn't want us to fast, but he wants us to live a fasted lifestyle. And that there are many, many reasons, prophetic reason and even natural reasons, why Heavenly Father will call us to live a lifestyle fast, or to go on a fast, because of its redemptive and spiritual and physical benefits to us as believers. But let's make sure that we are on the same page when we talk about fasting, you know, because a lot of people throw fasting around. I've heard people say, well, let's fast television. Well, I hear people say, well, let's fast shopping, you know. Well, that's nice activity to consecrate while you're fasting, but it's not actually what God refers to as fasting. In the Greek and Hebrew language, the words for fasting are nestio and tism. The Greek word means to abstain from food or drink. The Hebrew word means to cover up your mouth. And it's really important that we, the saints, be willing to obtain something spiritual from God, to obtain some desire that God has put in our heart, be willing to shut our mouths, to put our hands on our mouth, and stop taking in calories and take in spiritual calories from Heavenly Father by eating the Word and eating the presence of God. And so this is very important that we understand when we're referring to fasting, that we're speaking about the same thing. See, in our language, fasting does mean to abstain from all or certain foods or observing a holy day, to eat little or nothing, but not abstaining from breakfast necessarily. But there are all kinds of fasts in the scripture, and I wanted to make sure that we, the saints, understand that fasting is a prophetic act. It's a physical act that we perform that opens up heaven's gates for us as the saints, so we can get communications and we can draw power and the currency of favor from God to accomplish the things that God wants us to do. Now, many people a lot of times won't come into some of the things God wants for them because they're not willing to deny self. And fasting is a great way for us to actually deny ourselves, our self's intention, our self's rebellion, to deny our wants in a way to express to God that we're really serious about putting him first and being willing to walk second behind him, because he is our God. He is our high king. And I believe that this is a prophetic position that we can take in order to influence the outcomes of those things that we're standing for. What have you come to understand to be a good definition for fasting, Minister Barbara?
Well, as I said, fasting is to glorify the Lord, and you know, fasting is also really good for the body. You know, because our body needs to recoup from things, and people fear fast, and it really is not a place. It's so absolutely all of the leading of the Lord, that he's going to guide us into the fast and how much we should fast. Many people, as you said, have disciplined themselves or follow a fasting lifestyle. And that could be one day a week. It could be one meal a day. It could be, I was on a fast recently where I didn't eat breakfast. You know, that may sound trivial to some people, but you come from the night, from your supper, and you don't eat till the next afternoon. And I did this for, you know, 25 days leading up to Hanukkah. There could be 40 days fast, but the absolute fast, what I say is to drink water. And that brings us to a place of, you know, just the Lord is just, it's amazing how all of a sudden you're not hungry anymore. You're hungry for Him. And so I believe that fasting is a lifestyle. It brings us into that place of oneness with Him. I believe fasting is oneness. Maybe that's the word, that oneness of being one with Him. As we fast, we come in to get to know Him even more. And so as we set that day aside or that time aside to draw near to Him, He said, if you draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto you. And I believe that's what fasting absolutely does for us. And it brings us peace. If we're shutting things down and we're resting, that resting in the Lord, that peace totally throws the enemy off. Because how can you walk in such peace when there's so many things going on around you? But Lord brings that.
Yeah, well, fasting is a warfare strategy. The Bible says that the kingdom of God, since the time of John the Baptist, have suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. We must be more violent in our approach to overcoming and our approach to doing what God's called us to be. But a lot of times we don't know how to pick up this weapon. That can be a weapon that serves as a form of militaristic communications, but also it can be a weapon of warfare that excels and is violent against the enemy if we know how to properly and effectively use it. Understanding God's biblical pattern for it, what should our motives be, what should be our tactics. When we begin to understand these things, God can use us effectively in this arena of using fasting for the true purposes that God has in store for us. Why don't we take a break right here, Minister Barbara, and let's come back and let's talk about the different kinds of fasts and give the saints some strategies of employing this gift in that God has provided for us in the last days to accomplish God's purposes. We'll be right back.
If you're enjoying this prophetic and provocative conversation, give thanks with me for our monthly voice partners who help us to carry the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture to our generation. You too can become a distinguished monthly voice partner with a partnership gift of $15 to $45 a month. Our partners receive a monthly voice package that empowers them to be, do, and have everything God has destined for them. You too can become a monthly voice partner. Just go to the partners page at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And register today as a monthly voice partner to keep the Voice of Destiny show in your community.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. If you just tuned in, you've been listening to the Voice of Destiny show. I'm your host, I'm Dr. Daniel Hobbs, and my guest today is Minister Barbara Hall, an anointed prophetic teacher and dancer and atmosphere artist. And we are talking about strategies for deciding, not sliding into the new year, and specifically using prayer and fasting. Prayer by itself is powerful. The Bible says that the prayers of the saints availeth much. Fasting by itself, it's powerful. Isaiah reveals to us that it breaks the yoke. But when you put prayer and fasting together, it's absolutely atomic. You know, it has an incredible power that is released, not just in terms of us overcoming our enemies, but it amplifies the hearing, our hearing ear to God. There's so many different purposes. Fasting has a way of causing healing to be released in our body. Isaiah says, healing shall break forth. There are so many dimensions and rewards for fasting. But it's an underutilized gift, because I think a lot of the saints, especially in the 21st century, we think that this is not something God wants us to do. We need to understand that God is the same God today as He was yesterday and will be tomorrow. And it's one of His choice strategies for those of us that need to move away from the veil of the natural into the prophetic to obtain the resources that we need from the Lord. I love the passage in Joel that says, therefore also, now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garment, and turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repent of Him of the evil. We want we don't want God's judgment flowing into our new year because of failures that we've made and failures of the people that we are connected around us. This is why when we approach moving into the new year, we employ fasting so that we can be led into repentance, which is a change of mind, a change, a way of thinking, a way of seeing this differently than our natural way of seeing it, but to see things the way God sees them. This is very important that we understand that this is a part of the will of God. John's disciple had come to Jesus and said, you know, look, you know, why is it that your disciples, they don't fast? You know, the Pharisees' disciples fast, John's disciples fast, but yours do not fast. Jesus says, you know, of course they're not fasting because the groom is still with them. He was trying to say, look, the reason why you guys are fasting is to get access to the things of God that comes from the intangible world, but they have me. I'm their access. But time will come where they will not have me physically, and they will fast. They will fast. If you are a believer today and you don't physically have Jesus with you, then you need to be aware that we are in that time in history that we should all be fasting in order to get access to the things that are of God. And so understanding these principles and these technologies behind fasting becomes very essential to us as the saints as we walk out what God has in store for us. So, Barbara, let's talk about what are the kind of fasts that that you've learned about from Scripture and from your journey with fasting throughout your life.
Well, Isaiah 58 certainly talks about fasting. It is, you know, we seek and we inquire the Lord, and it says if you would humble yourself, fast, you know, for this chosen day for us to come before him and to lay the money aside that we would normally use for the food to give to the poor. This is a type of fasting that we are doing. Daniel fast of just some vegetables. I know that many people add all these different things to it, and they say, well, that really is a fast. You know, we do everything. You say, well, don't eat sweets and don't drink wine. And, you know, it's so people give up bread, but yet they're eating pasta and rice and things like that. I just believe that we set aside just the fruit and the vegetables for those 3 weeks. It says that it would bring healing to our body. The 10-day fast that people talk about was just vegetables. The Daniel, this is what Daniel did again in the beginning, that he wouldn't eat of the king's table. That he said, if you just give us vegetables. And yet here they were. They just were young men, and they looked so healthy because they had set aside and wouldn't eat the delicacies of the king. And so these are a couple of those kind of fasts. And, of course, water fast, there's an Esther fast, and I've never gone 3 days without water, but people do fast as Esther fast with no food or water. This is a certain anointing, and I believe that you really do need to hear from the Lord that he has asked you to do that.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Go ahead and finish.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say. No, go ahead, Barbara.
you know, but I mean, you know, when we fast like that, and even a 40-day water fast that many people have you know, gone into, it is certainly something that the Lord says to you, and that you prepare your body for that, and God will sustain you through all of this. But it's that communication, it's that oneness with the Lord. And, of course, we can fast and just in our own and say, okay, I'm going to give up these 3 days this week and just seek the Lord, and that we can just give up and just drink. And so, you know, just have wisdom, but know that you're hearing from God as well.
Well, just to add some simplicity to what we've been talking about, there are different kinds of fasts, but fasting is a biblical weapon of warfare. It's a biblical devotional discipline that we, the saints, that Jesus expects for us to practice at the times that we're living right now in order to access the things of the Spirit. It tells us in Genesis 24:33 that Abraham had a servant who fasted what we refer to as a complete fast, or the normal fast. That was a fast with no solids, no liquids, but only, I mean, it was a fast with no solids or liquids, only water. And it says in Genesis 24:3, which tells us Abraham's oldest and most trusted servant was determined not to eat until he found a wife for Isaac. When we're in pursuit of many exploits or a breakthrough, this isn't an appropriate fast to fast. And this is what many refer to as a normal fast, when you're just simply giving up solid foods or liquids, taking in liquids except just for water. Also, what we refer to as a total fast, and this is when you're having no food and no drink at all. This is the kind of fast that is for a very, very special purpose. I don't recommend that anybody employ this fast unless the Lord gives them a strong leading and really for a short period of time, because your body does need water. It can survive without food a very long time, but not water. And the scripture does give us models of this kind of fast being done. Moses, for 40 days and 40 nights, was without food and water on the mountain in Exodus 34:28. And if you were physically in the presence of God, you wouldn't need water or food either. But it was a special occasion that God had given him. Also, Paul, after his conversion, spent 3 days without food or water, also in Acts 9th chapter and verse 9. And Esther and the Jews fasted for 3 days without food or water. They were in a very desperate situation where, had they not acted in such a fashion to influence the kingdom of God, the voice, to influence God, these people would have lost their life. So what value did food or water have to them if they didn't? So a total fast is a biblical form of fasting, but it's not a very common one. The third one that I want to bring to our attention, which is the fast that I see through scripture that was most utilized by the biblical saints in the present age today, and that is partial fasting. That is when you are abstaining from certain kinds of foods and drinks that you are eliminating from your diet. We know Daniel, and you mentioned that earlier, Minister Barbara, that Daniel fasted partially by giving up the king's meat. We see this in Daniel, the 12th chapter, and also in Daniel 3, where Daniel, as well as the Hebrew boys, they gave up certain kinds of food, which was the most common type of fast. It simply means taking in less calories, whether it's from food or whether it's for certain types of drinks. And I know one of the strategies that my family, we use, especially growing up our kids, we will have 40 days that we will go without taking in any granulated sugar, any sugar products that was possible. And it was a form of sacrifice for my children, but it allowed them to experience sacrificing with a pure heart towards God to get a breakthrough. And so fasting becomes very, very important to us as the saints, as we're going to go into the new year, so that we can hear from God. And let's take a break here, and let's talk about some of our personal stories that we've experienced through fasting and what God has done, and give the saints some more wisdom about acting on being a prophetic actor to manifest what God wants for us as we go into the new year. We'll be right back.
I do not choose to be a common man. It is my right to be uncommon if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled and bold by having the state look after me. I desire to take the calculated risk, to dream and to build, to fail and to succeed.
YI Institute is an entrepreneur and leadership program for youth that teaches personal leadership, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship. Register your youth today at yicenter.com. That's yicenter.com. And your youth will learn how not to die in poverty, but to have poverty die in them.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. If you just tuned in, you've been listening to the Voice of Destiny show, and we're talking about deciding into the new year and not sliding into the new year. Many are the plans of man, but it's the purpose of God that prevails. And we've been talking about the tactic of fasting, using it to move on exploits that God has given us, because God wants to accomplish great things in the new year. This is a great spiritual discipline, a prophetic discipline for us as the saints to keep, because it makes us very sensitive to the Spirit of God. Now, Minister Barbara was asking if you would share some of your stories, and I'll share some of mine, that will help us as saints to have our faith to be lifted for what God wants to do with us through this ministry of fasting.
Well, the Lord reminded me that when I first was filled with the Holy Spirit, I had come out of the world's lifestyle, and I smoked. And and I wanted to fast, and I knew that I couldn't smoke and fast at the same time. I just had this, and I, smoking is an addiction, and so it's not given up very easily. I tried several mm-hmm. different ways, and finally yep. I said, Lord, I just can't do this, you know. And so, but I really want to fast. And it was one mm-hmm. Sunday, all of a sudden I got so filled with the Holy Spirit, and mm-hmm. from that moment on, I never desired a cigarette. And so mm-hmm. He took it from me, but I believe it's because I purposed myself to fast, to want to be purified, to want to be cleansed. And so fasting is that time of being cleansed. We see David talk about Psalm 51, cleanse me with hyssop. And so mm-hmm. He purifies us from the inside out. Not only mm-hmm. our spirit gets cleansed, but it's our physical body that gets cleansed, mm. our soul, that so much is where our intellect is. It becomes to, and you talked about a change of mindset, it does mm-hmm. change your mind. You are hearing yep. something. It changes mm-hmm. the whole way you see things and perceive things. Mm-hmm. God will mm-hmm. take you into visions. I've had visions during fasting. Mm-hmm. I've drawn close to the Lord through that time of fasting, and He mm-hmm. does answer our prayers. Mm. Because we said, I've seen some marvelous things. I wrote in my journal just 9 months ago, because I was laid off from work 3.5 years ago, and I began to fast to seek the Lord, and I said, Lord, something has to change. And it was 9 months mm-hmm. later that God opened the door. But it's wow. because I, for Him, but it's for His purpose. And so, but the Lord has kept me and has sustained me and taken care of me for 3.5 years without mm. a regular income. So
wow.
That God is faithful when we
yes,
are faithful.
He is. Yes, He is. And so when we God wants us to understand that destiny is a collaborative sport. You know, it's something that we don't sit back and just observe God doing. God wants us to engage in the process. And we know from Daniel, the angel told Daniel, look, when you prayed, your answer was given the very first day. But en route to bring you the answer, I was hindered by the prince of Persia. And if it wasn't for your fasting and prayer, I wouldn't be here even today, because it's very important that we understand that there is a transaction that happened between what we do here on earth. Prayer and fasting is an earth product that we can send to heaven, and heaven consumes the prayers, and God uses the prayers to impact our living experience here on the earth. Some of the New Testament scriptures that you might want to go look at concerning fasting would be Matthew 17:21, Luke 2:37, 2 Corinthians 6 and 5. And these gives us models of how important, even in the New Testament, that we begin to explore this important spiritual and prophetic discipline of fasting, because it's a gateway opener. It opens up doors for us to experience what God has in store for us. I know for me, I tell the story about how the Lord caught me on a 21-day fast. I had a place of argument concerning getting married. I didn't think marriage was all that great. I thought being single was better. You could have undistracted devotion to the Lord. And that's true. But marriage was something God was calling me to. And God needed to get around the place of argument. And I find that when I have something, a way of thinking or seeing something that I have a hard time breaking away from, God will call me on a fast. And He did that for me. And for 21 days, He says, look, I just want you to drink water, and I want you to eat watermelon for 21 days. And I did that. And while I was in that time of fasting and praying, the Lord gave me a vision of my wife and showed me who she was and took me through this process of accepting that this was the gift that He was giving me. And today I stand, 25 years later, 6 children later, in a godly marriage and loving my wife, knowing that had I not fasted, as the Lord told me, I wouldn't be having that experience that I'm having today. And there are so many experiences that God's calling each and every one of us into the new year. And what's separating us from those experiences, those victories, those increases, those breakthroughs, is simply giving up a plate. For some of us, God will say, I want you to give up sugar for a certain amount of days. I want you to give up meat for a certain amount of days. I want you to go without eating for 3 days. I want you to go without eating one digestive cycle, 8 hours, between 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., from 4 p.m. to 12 midnight. I want you to abstain from eating during this time for a given period, because it's going to help me to help you to separate separate from your leaning on the arms of the flesh and to experience the resources and the strengths and the gifts that I have for you from my realm. And so this is what we're talking about, the kingdom of God coming here on this earth as it is in heaven. And I got to tell you, the fasting is one of the great tools that God uses to make this happen. Thank you, Minister Barbara, for joining us for these conversations about sliding, not sliding into the new year, but deciding. It's been very, very important that we, the saints, know what we're to do, how we're to behave in the house of the Lord, because there are so many people that are depending on us being everything that God wants us to be. And if we do not tap into our spiritual resources through prayer and fasting, we would not be able to have the capacity to do what the Lord has given us to do. So God bless you. Thank you for joining us again. And remember, I'm saying today is a great day because this is a day the Lord has made for you. And remember, Voice of Destiny is available to you 24/7 on Voice of Destiny Online. God bless you.
You've been listening to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Pastor Daniel Huff. Remember, kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's program, visit voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us at Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.
Wow, Barbara, God bless you. God bless you. That was an incredible conversation what we had, and I think people are going to really be inspired from it. Thank you for taking time out to help us to bring the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture to our listeners. God bless. So Barbara, are you still there?
I am.
Okay. Oh, for a moment, I thought I was talking to myself. Wow. Let me call you back because actually we're still being recorded right now while we're yet talking.
Okay.
Do you have a moment for like two or three minutes?
I'll be in the car. I got a half hour to get ready to get out the door. So.
Well, hey, I tell you what, just call me. Next week sometime with you, because I wanted to share something with you. Okay, but it's not
okay,
urgent.
About 45 minutes. Give me a call. Be in the car.
Yeah, you can do that.
Okay.
Just call me back.
All right.
God bless.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye.